Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Hangout in the Holy Land, Land Grant Holy Land's flagship podcast. And today, I am your host, Gene Ross, as always. And today, me and my co-host, Josh Dooley, are going to put our baseball differences aside after a crazy game last night between the Reds and the Mets to bring you guys some Ohio State record talk. So, Josh, how do you feel about that?
Well, I can tell you how I feel about your first statement and you bringing up the Mets and the Reds game. We'll talk about that off air. But no, I really enjoy the topic and kind of the theme that we've got going on this week. I did the Forgotten Buckeye series for a while, looking back at some of the history. So I'm really excited to jump into these. I'm sure we'll have some differing opinions on whether a record can be broken, will stand forever, and what have you. But very cool topic and one that's definitely helping with the slow week we've had off-season-wise or off-season news-wise.
Yeah, for sure. And as Josh alluded to, this week at Land Grant Holy Land is our Broken Records Week, where we're kind of looking at, you know, different Ohio State football records throughout history, some records that could be broken in the upcoming season, some that we think will never be broken, and, you know, just different recent record breakings we've seen from some Ohio State athletes. We're very fortunate to grow up in the time we do, and some of the athletes that have come through Ohio State in recent years, and we've really gotten to see some very talented athletes that have put their names in the Ohio State record books forever. And, you know, some guys, some names that you'll remember, be like, oh yeah, that guy. And then some are like, wow, I didn't know that he was even up there in the record books and stuff like this. So it is always interesting to look back at this stuff. And like Josh said, you know, we're getting towards kind of the end of the off season here. We're in late July. There's not a ton news-wise going on, so to kind of have a little bit of a break here from all the newsy stuff and just kind of look through stuff of the past and kind of looking forward to the future is always good to kind of refresh your brain before a new Ohio State football season. So that's what we're going to be looking at today, just some different Ohio State records, offense, defense, all over the place. And so personally, I wanted to start with where I think makes the most sense and look at some of the passing records in Ohio State. And of course, when you're talking passing records in Ohio State, you can't start the conversation anywhere other than Joe Thomas Barrett, the career passing leader at Ohio State with his 9,434 career passing yards, nearly 2,000 yards over the next highest person, which is Art Schlichter's over 7,500. And so I think personally, you know, that's we kind of talked about it a little bit, how, you know, the records that, if you read our Me and Josh's Your Nuts from this week, we kind of both touched on how the game has changed in recent times, and, you know, guys aren't four-year starters anymore. It's hard to get on the field as a freshman at Ohio State, and if you are good enough to get on the field as a freshman at Ohio State, you're probably good enough to leave for the NFL in 3 years. So the fact that JT Barrett was here for so long, obviously he was thrust into the starting lineup after Braxton got hurt in 2014, and he played all 4 years. And so he was able to accumulate a lot of numbers in the passing game, and it's probably a record that will stand for quite some time, given that the next highest person is 2,000 yards behind him, and I don't know if we'll see a four-year starter at Ohio State, especially at quarterback, especially under Ryan Day with all this talent he's bringing in and year out at quarterback. So I think JT's record is probably one of the more safe ones in the Ohio State record book, at least with how things are in today's game.
All right, here we go. So we don't disagree very often on the pod. I think we share similar opinions, but I actually do think that JT Barrett's record could fall relatively soon, and it really just comes down to math for me. You know, as you alluded to, it's rare for a guy to come in and at least at Ohio State start for 3 or 4 years, which is what JT did. But with the guys we have coming in, whether it's CJ Stroud, Kyle McCord, Quinn Ewers, or, you know, the top guy from 2025, which I'm sure is already looking at Ohio State, I think that there's potential, and I think it's going to take three really good years. But if you look at number two on the single season records, it's Joe Germain at 3,300 yards. So take that number times three, and, you know, if somebody were to come in and do that, which, you know, obviously it's not easy to elevate to second in the Ohio State record books, but three seasons of 3,300 yards would put that individual above JT Barrett. So I'm not saying it's likely, but I do think it's possible just because of the talent that Ryan Day is bringing in. You know, imagine Quinn Ewers coming in next year if he takes a job or wins a job. And, you know, based on recent history, Dwayne Haskins put up 4,800 in 1 year. Say Quinn Ewers gets to 4,000 and he does it twice. Then you're looking at 2.5 seasons or whatever the math works out to. So while it's impressive, and I, you know, I'm a JT stan, I love JT Barrett, I think that that record could fall in the next 4 to 5 years, depending on who gets this playing time. And I think it's a real possibility somebody plays for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I guess that is a good point. You know, if you even look at, you know, Justin Fields' season in 2019, he put up just under 3,300 yards. So even just extrapolating his season, if he would have maybe started his career at Ohio State rather than at Georgia and had started right away, he's a guy who could have maybe put up those numbers over three seasons instead of four to catch up to JT. So I didn't really think about that as a possibility, but I guess you are right that it's not completely out of the question, especially with the way Ohio State's passing game looks these days and the receivers that they're putting out there. So it really just comes down to, you know, can a guy come in and start for 3 years, and maybe Quinn Ewers is that guy, but at the same time, you know, maybe Quinn Ewers sits for a year or whatever. So it is interesting. I guess it is mathematically possible. You're right. And I don't know if we'll ever see, you know, Dwayne Haskins, 4,800 yards is interesting. It's kind of crazy to look through all the record books and look at how many like records Dwayne Haskins has. I mean, he holds six of the top seven, like, game-wise passing yard, like passing records in a single game, and they're all, besides the seventh one, which is 396, they're all over 400 yards in a game. And a lot of that was because, you know, Ohio State's defense was so bad that year that he was on the field the entire time and he was constantly throwing the ball because they constantly had to put up points. But at the same time, Dwayne Haskins' records are like really, really impressive, and I don't think we really fully appreciated his greatness when he was here, and especially now that, you know, his NFL career hasn't quite panned out. He's not really looked upon as like a legendary Ohio State quarterback, but he's got some crazy numbers out here. Like that 4,800 yards in 2018 is something crazy, and he did it with 50 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. So it's not like he was, you know, just spraying it around and like getting picked off and just throwing it. He was accurate, and he put up stats.
Yeah, that's, I believe, one of the more underappreciated seasons in Ohio State history, and will probably remain that way for a while, unless, again, somebody like a CJ Stroud or a Quinn Ewers is here for a while. You wrote down some of the same notes that I did. You know, six of the top seven passing games in Ohio State history belong to one person. 50 touchdowns in a season. We thought Justin Fields was great in 2019 with a full slate. He was still 9 off. You know, 9 is, let's call it 3 good games. So he was 3 good games away from even touching that Dwayne Haskins record. So that 2018 season, I think, if you look at the totality of it, that will be a season. You can't associate a season to a record when you look at everything involved. But that season of 2018 will be tough to top for any quarterback to do once, let alone multiple times. You know, like you said, it's really crazy. And I think it has fallen by the wayside, like you said, because of his lack of NFL success and the fact that Justin Fields came in right after him and had two great seasons of his own. But it's like people just forgot about Dwayne Haskins all of a sudden. And yeah, you said it, that 2018 season, the 6 out of 7 games being in the top 10 of Ohio State passing, that is the one that really jumps out to me.
Yeah, for sure. And to Justin Fields' credit, like the fact that he is number 10 on Ohio State passing yards history having played like one full season and then one pandemic shortened season is honestly just shows how good he was as a quarterback. And there were a lot of games where he wasn't, you know, putting up 400 yards passing. You know, he was doing a little bit of running. He was distributing the ball well. Ohio State didn't have to have him in the whole game because they were blowing people out. But to be number 10 and have only played like the amount of games that he played in Ohio State just shows how good of a quarterback he is. And hopefully his NFL career pans out a little bit better than Haskins. I have a good feeling it will. I really like him on the Bears. And I think that, you know, by season's end, he could be starting there. But Justin Fields being top 10 in Ohio State history with how short of a time he played in Columbus is really impressive to me.
Yeah, I agree. And Gene, you know, while we're still on passing, I know we'll get through everything else. The one thing that really jumps out to me is the single game passing touchdown record. You know, JT, Dwayne, you've got that list of guys, but one of the guys who shares that record is Kenny Guyton. Smooth Jazz, Kenny G in 2013 put up 6 against Florida A&M, I believe, if I have it written down correctly. And, you know, to have a guy like that, that is one of the more unexpected names that you'll see at the top of all these passing record books, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, Smooth Kenny G, great guy. Ohio State's had some really like fun quarterbacks. Of course, you know, the Troy Smith, the Terrell Pryors, a lot of guys that were really talented and really good players. And it just, you know, they're not really known as a quarterback factory. And a lot of these guys, Braxton Miller, obviously, too, don't want to forget him. But, you know, a lot of these guys either didn't, you know, weren't as the best throwers in terms of the deep ball and putting up really the big gaudy stats, but they were a lot of fun to watch, and they propelled Ohio State to some big wins. So there has been a fun little history of quarterbacks at the school, despite, you know, the outside view of what Ohio State is as a program. And, you know, looking at moving forward in some of the offense, I can tell you a record that won't be broken this year, and it's KJ Hill's career passing receptions. Because, and not to anyone's fault of their own, KJ Hill has 201 career receptions at Ohio State, which is the most, right ahead of David Boston's 191. And nobody at Ohio State currently, despite how good all of these guys are even close. Chris Olave is going into what should be his last season in Ohio State, and he's only at 111. So barring a 90-catch season from Chris Olave, I don't think that record is going to be broken. And given the talent Ohio State has all over the field, I don't see 90 catches coming Chris Olave's way. But in that same vein, you know, Paris Campbell does have the season record with 90, so it is doable, but I think the situation was a little different when Paris Campbell was playing, just based on some of the other receiver talent around them and the way that these guys are used between Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson and Jackson Smith and Jigba and the litany of other 5-stars they have on the roster. I just don't see any one guy getting a huge amount of receptions in a given year.
Yeah, I think the depth is probably what hinders all of those guys. 201 receptions to me is not a giant number. Again, if you look at like the 3-year rule, 70 catches a year puts you well above that. But Ohio State has just been so deep at the position that it's rare for a guy to come in and play or start for 3 years. Hopefully, we see that trend broken because of the guys that we have in the program right now. You know, I'd love to see somebody like, I look at Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's overrated, but I think because of his skill set and the fact that he kind of flies under the radar, maybe you put him in the slot like a KJ Hill early in his career, and he racks up a lot of catches and maybe not so many yards just due to their playing style, which is Paris Campbell was similar to that. Curtis Samuel, sort of similar to that. I know they're not the same body type, but when I think slot receiver, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. So that would be kind of a wild projection. But I do think that it's very feasible, but the depth just, it goes against them so much that that's what will hurt a guy. Chris Olave, had he played his freshman year, would probably be much higher on the list, and we both think that he's due for a big senior season. But like we said, guys come in, they sit for a year, or they're part-time starters, and so it just kind of speaks to KJ Hill's A, durability, B, you know, just football intelligence and IQ and ability to get on the field. But it's really about consistency for him. You know, his best season was 70 catches, and he still ended up atop the Ohio State record book. So that's a really impressive one that you would think is doable, but look at the guys we've had come through for the last 50 years and nobody's there. So it obviously has stood the test of time for a couple of years, but going further back, you take Paris Campbell out too, they more or less played together. We're looking at a lot of guys from the 90s.
Yeah, for sure. And I think actually, you know, if you're kind of just looking through some of these receiving records, I think Olave may have a chance this year to break the career receiving yards record. The record holder currently is Michael Jenkins from 2000-2003. He's got just under 2,900 yards receiving. And Chris Olave currently is 16th, and he's got just under 1,800 yards receiving. So if he could put up, you know, a 1,000-yard season, which I don't think is completely out of the question with the way Ohio State's offense looks these days. He needs like 1,100 or so yards. I don't think that's entirely undoable, just because I think that he and Garrett Wilson will be on the field pretty much every snap. And, you know, they're going to come out obviously a little bit, but I think they're going to get the majority of the receptions, the majority of the snaps. So I think there's a chance that Ohio State could have 2,000-yard receivers this year between he and Wilson if Ohio State's really going to the air raid and trusting their quarterback like they have these past few years. And I don't think the career receptions record is out of the question for Chris Olave. And I'm honestly surprised. I feel like Garrett Wilson's been here forever, but even though he hasn't, and he's not, like, Garrett Wilson has no records anywhere on here. So it's really just, if we're looking for records this year, it's going to have to be Chris Olave.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's crazy that you and I have both talked about the potential for those guys to go for 1,000 yards, and Ohio State has five of those seasons in their history. That just blows my mind. It's David Boston, Terry Glenn, Chris Carter, Michael Jenkins, Paris Campbell, and that's it. With the talent that we've come that has come through this program, I'm honestly shocked that there aren't 10 or more guys with 1,000-yard seasons, but I'm with you. I think that we could see it this year. We've got Master Teague is back and Mayan Williams is back at running back. We've got Travion Henderson coming in, obviously, but we've seen Ryan Day pivot away from the running game a little bit, you know, with the exception of Trey Sermon, but he likes to throw the ball. He's got all the talent in the world in the quarterback room. So I expect a lot of passing, and I think it'd be really cool to see two 1,000-yard receivers etch their names or, you know, move up in the record books here at Ohio State. If there were some odds on that, they would probably be long, but I would put money down on that. I think that is very, very doable for both of the top two wide receivers. And if Chris Olave has a special season like we think he's capable of, he could own a couple of these records like you alluded to.
Yeah, another record he's chasing is the career touchdown receptions. He's at 22 right now. The career leader for Ohio State is David Boston's 34. So he only needs 12 touchdowns this year to break that record. And he's already had, he's fourth in Ohio State history in touchdowns in a season with 12 in 2019. So if he matches that touchdown output this season, he would tie that record. So that's another one that's incredibly doable. And with the way that they use Chris Olave, he has been like both a deep ball threat and a guy that they look to as kind of those sturdy hands on some of those out routes in the corner of the end zone. So I don't think 12 touchdowns for him is completely out of the question, given a full season and, you know, plus playoffs where Ohio State could potentially play, you know, 14, 15 games. So I don't think 12 touchdowns is a crazy number for him. And I think it's very doable that he could see himself, you know, atop of, like you said, numerous records after this season. And I'm hoping like Garrett Wilson works his way into some of these record books. He's obviously not going to be at the top, but he just kind of, with the way that his career has panned out and the seasons he's played in, especially the last shortened season, and now he's going to be obviously, you know, likely a first-round draft pick after this year. He just hasn't really had the amount of time, despite being, you know, one of the best pure receivers that we've seen in Ohio State in a while. So it'll be interesting to watch these guys. Yeah. There are some good players, and you see every day like a new site being like, oh, the top two pass catchers in college football are Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and it's just these guys are going to ball out, hopefully.
Yeah, I think that Garrett Wilson is probably one of the more overqualified 1B receivers I can think of in recent history, not just Ohio State. I'm talking period. You know, the fact that he's mentioned behind Chris Olave consistently, we may never get to see what it's like with him as the alpha, as the top dog, as a wide receiver, but that's a good problem to have. You know, you mentioned some of the Chris Olave numbers. Out of all of those, Gene, like, what do you think is the most likely record that he sets this year? Do you think it's the receiving touchdowns? Do you think that it's the career yards? Like, what's, if you had to pick one, which one do you think that he has the best chance of breaking?
I think it's going to come down to what kind of his rapport is with the new quarterback, because like Chris Olave obviously is one of the more dependable receivers on the team. He's a guy that you could always look for. He's very, very smooth route runner. He's very good at getting open. But sometimes, you know, he'll have a game where like he has six or seven catches, but he only has like, you know, 70 yards and a touchdown. So if you're gonna hit that like 1,100 that he needs to break the receiving yards, he's gonna have to have like consistent 100 to 150 yard games each and every week. And that's really tough to do. Whereas I think, you know, you have a couple games where you have two or three touchdowns against maybe some of your lesser opponents, that adds up to 12 pretty quickly. So, you know, just on a pure numbers basis, 12 is easier than 1,000, and it takes a little bit less consistency week in and week out. So I think the touchdowns are probably more likely. But if that happens, that means Ohio State's offense is scoring a crap ton of points. So I'm here for that. And, you know, I'd like him to break both. But if I'm gonna take one, I'll probably take the touchdowns over the yards just to have those points on the board.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree with you. That or just something completely random like single game receiving yards. All it takes is one game. Obviously, the record right now is 253 by Terry Glenn. He had a bananas year in 1995. So that would be the other one that we haven't hit on. But like I said, all it takes is one game against one inferior opponent to kind of set a new mark. So that would be one that kind of flies under the radar for Chris Olave or really anybody else, in my opinion.
Yeah, Ohio State's, you know, Brian Hartline's got the boys working in that receiver room, and hopefully it pays off big time this year for the new quarterback. But right standing next to that quarterback in the backfield will be potentially a new running back, probably not, but, you know, maybe that maybe Travion Henderson earns a job over Master Teague. I have a feeling that, you know, Master Teague will at the very least start the season in the backfield, but there are some records to be looked at there. And, you know, obviously the big one for Ohio State is Archie Griffin's career rushing yards, just under 5,600. Obviously the Heisman's, the two-time Heisman winner, which is a record that for Ohio State that may never be broken by anyone else in college football. So that's a special one here. And, you know, Ohio State is a place that over time has been known for their running backs. We just got to see recently J.K. Dobbins. He finished second in career rushing at Ohio State. He's a guy who came on, once again, kind of thrust into it. It was a season where Mike Weber was hurt to start the year. He was supposed to be the starter. And then J.K. Dobbins wound up starting game one at Indiana. And he just took off from there. He was a great running back for his 3 years in Columbus. He actually holds the single season rushing record at Ohio State with 2,003 yards in 2019 with his 21 touchdowns that year. And so Dobbins is a great running back. You would think that, like, you know, with how good Zeke was, Zeke would be more, you know, have these records over Dobbins, but Dobbins was just a workhorse and he was here, you know, he just played longer than Zeke. Zeke has the third and fourth most rushing yards in a season at Ohio State between 2014 and 2015. So he obviously had his own tremendous seasons. He's third right behind Dobbins in career rushing yards. And so both of those guys are very special running backs and guys that, you know, I grew up, like, I didn't grow up watching Ohio State football that much. I grew up on the East Coast, so I didn't get to, like, you know, see some of the legends play. And obviously we weren't old enough to watch Archie Griffin when he was playing. But, like, those getting to see Dobbins and Zeke play in person as two, like, legendary Ohio State running backs was a pretty special thing for us to be able to say we were able to do.
Yeah, I think we're in total agreement on this one. Just the way that the game has evolved, a lot of teams, Ohio State included, don't have the same emphasis on the running game. They've got great running backs, and you look at the draft this past year, you know, Jonathan Taylor is an exception, Travis Etienne, guys like that, they're exceptions because the passing game is so prevalent nowadays. It's popular across the country. So I'm with you. I think that a lot of those rushing records, they're not unbreakable. I think most of them can be achieved, but it's going to take a little bit of a shift in the way that Ryan Day coaches the offense and coaches the team as a whole. And you brought up Travion Henderson looking forward to 2021. When he gets his chance, which we assume that he will, he strikes me as more of a do-it-all type of running back. I think that he's going to catch passes out of the backfield, and he'll probably share time. He's not the only talented guy in the room. He certainly won't be this year. And then, you know, you've got Evan Pryor behind him and some other guys coming in. So when he gets a chance, I don't think that he's going to be a workhorse to the same level of a Zeke Elliott, like you brought up, or a J.K. Dobbins. You know, I think his 2,000 yards will probably stand for quite a while, just because of, you know, a lot of teams, even when they have that stud running back, there's always a compliment. They don't want to wear them down. That's arguably the toughest position to be durable on the football field. So I'm with you. I think that a lot of those records will stand for quite a while. The one that really jumps out to me is Pete Johnson's 56 touchdowns. He played in the mid-70s, and he was a different kind of back. You don't see them today. He was, you know, he had tons of carries, but he did a lot of his damage near the goal line. His yards per carry average is a full yard plus lower than most of the top names when you think of Ohio State. And so the way that he was used, that's what got him 56 touchdowns. That's what put him atop the record book. And he did it for 4 years. So that's the one that jumps out to me as far as rushing goes. That is probably the one that may last the longest. You know, it's been around for, my math's not very good, but almost 50 years. He graduated, or he stopped playing in 1976. So you think that a guy could come in and if he put up 20 touchdowns for three seasons, that's great. That blows that record out of the water. But as great as Zeke was, he had not two 20 touchdown seasons, but they were close. He had 18 and 23. Dobbins had a 21. So 20 has been done by a list of guys. But again, year after year after year, can you do it? And there's just too much talent in the room. Like I said before, it's a really good problem to have that guys are fighting to get on the field. That probably goes against most of these guys and most of these records, really.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring up Pete Johnson because he's a very interesting kind of name, because like you think Ohio State running backs, you think Archie Griffin, Eddie George, you know, Keith Byers, and then the more recent, you know, Zeke's and Dobbins and all these guys. You don't really think of Pete Johnson, and he holds all of the touchdown records for Ohio State running backs. He holds the record for, he ties the record with Keith Byers for touchdowns in a game with 5. He has the most touchdowns in a single season at Ohio State with 25, and he has the career record, like you talked about, 56. And that's a guy, you know, that's not a name that's brought up when you talk about the pantheon of Ohio State running backs, but he holds all of the touchdown records. And another name that's going to, you know, stand in the record books for a while and is going to be something that people look back on in the past and be like, how did that happen and what the heck went on, is what we saw this past season when Trey Sermon just randomly ran for 331 yards against Northwestern to break the rush, the single game rushing yards for Ohio State. That's going to be, you know, Trey Sermon's name isn't going to be anywhere else in the Ohio State record books because of just how short a stint he played with the team. And like, he really didn't come on until the last few games, and then he got hurt in the title game and didn't get to play then. But, you know, Trey Sermon is now at the top of the rushing yards in the game leaderboard, and that's a 331 yards is no small feat. And that's going to be another tough one to break with how Ohio State's offense works, and that they don't really, you know, push the rock as much as they did in that game when they were missing Chris Olave and Justin Fields wasn't having his best game. So that's another, it's another interesting one to look at. And it's just funny that, like, you know, his name is going to be there, and people that, you know, look back in like 50 years going to be like, who the heck was Trey Sermon?
Yeah, the common fan may not. Well, you know, the common Ohio State fan is probably dedicated and they will remember Trey Sermon, but the common college football fan is going to see that name and be like, who?
But they can be like, didn't that guy play for Oklahoma?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they'll be like, you know, Master Teague started. Was that before or after Zeke? And they'll be asking all sorts of questions, but I could not agree more. You know, that number is such an outlier. There was one other 300-yard game by Eddie George 25 years ago. But it's, I think it's still top five in NCAA history. Like, I know Samaje Perine said it a while back, and LaDainian Tomlinson had a crazy game. I don't remember what the top five are, but I think Sermon's is in there. And you brought it up, the way that the game has changed and the way that the offense runs now through the quarterback. I think the only chance you see that even approached again anytime soon is probably, I don't know, like a crappy weather game where they don't want to throw the ball and they have to pound the rock 40, 50 times. But he did it against a good defense too. You know, he smoked Northwestern, but Ohio State did not. And as a whole last year, Northwestern's defense really kind of stood on its head and was one of the better ones in the Big Ten. So that is a complete outlier and probably one of the more random records I can think of on the entire list of all of these.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, you know, that Northwestern defense was good. And I just think that with the level of like quarterback Ohio State's bringing in, that even if it's like crappy weather, they trust these guys to throw. Like they've had, when Justin Fields was playing and if there was some bad weather, they trusted him to still throw the rock, because between, you know, the talent of the quarterback and the talent of the receivers, like they don't, the weather doesn't even play effect on these guys. Like they trust their offense no matter what. And so even if it is like a really, really crappy game, unless it's like they're playing in a hurricane and they physically can't throw the ball, I just don't know if you're going to see a game where you get to 40, 50 carries for a running back like you would back in the day. So that'd be an interesting one. Trey Sermon will probably live in the Ohio State record books for quite some time. And I'm sure that's an accomplishment that he will, you know, cherish for himself. Moving on then to the, to, you know, talking about defenses that they face, talk about some Ohio State defensive records. I really like the one that you you talked about in your nuts, and it's the Marcus Marek total career tackles with 572, which I can't even comprehend 572 career tackles. Like, it's just such an insane number to me. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, that one, you know, when I was kind of looking back, I highlighted him in the Forgotten Buckeye series too, because he is a really underrated linebacker in Ohio State history. But yeah, I mean, you're talking an average of almost 150 tackles for a four-year player. It's the one that probably jumps out to me, along with, honestly, I like the one you wrote about too with the interceptions, which I'm sure we'll touch on. But you think about whose record he broke too. You know, Tom Cousineau, he broke his record. He followed him, you know, the next 4 years. And then right after him, there was 1 year in between. I think Spielman was 2 years after Merritt graduated. Spielman came in right after, just under 550. But those guys are in, I don't even know if it's a neighborhood of their own. They are in like a city or a state of their own when it comes to tackles. And Steve Tovar is fourth with 408. I would say that there is no chance that is broken in this decade. I would say that, and I just can't see it being broken anytime soon, because we've seen Ohio State's linebacker play. It's not been the best, you know, recently, if we're being completely honest, but they let guys play. Tough Borland, Pete Warner, they were 3 and 4 year starters. Justin Hilliard was here for 100 years. Obviously, no, he wasn't a starter, but guys come in, and if they're good enough, they play for multiple years and they start for multiple years, but none of them have even approached it. You know, I always thought growing up that James Laurinaitis was the best linebacker I had ever seen, and he's seventh on the list with 375 tackles. So if he would have played 6 years, he may not have broken that record. That one, I'm glad you appreciate it, because it jumped out to me when I was kind of doing my research. It's just, it's really an unfathomable number from a guy that not a lot of Ohio State fans remember.
Yeah, for sure. And with all the defensive talent that Ohio State has produced, you know, over the years, like, that's, like you said, it's not a name you think of. And there's just so many names after him of guys that you were like, you would think were like the best players in Ohio State history. And meanwhile, they're not even like close to Marek's record. And I also think I've just noticed a typo in Ohio State's record book. Ryan Shazier is listed both 14th and 16th in the career tackles with, I don't know if he had 208 or 201, but he's one of those. So I don't know what's up with that, but he's listed in there twice. But Ryan Shazier,
Think about how good he was. You know, Ryan Shazier was an outstanding linebacker. He was a one-time All-American, if I'm not mistaken. And he is basically two careers behind Marcus Marek. So that just speaks to the absurdity of the record, in my opinion. I don't know. How about you?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, talking about some guys that, you know, we got to see more recently, obviously Chase Young's name is all over the Ohio State record books for the seasons that he put together here. You know, he's tied for the record for most tackles for loss in a game with 5. That was that Wisconsin game. He's fourth on the list in career season tackles for loss with 21 in 2019. Mike Vrabel holds that record with 26 in 1995. Shout out to Mike Vrabel and his Tennessee Titans. Vrabel also holds a record for career tackles for loss with 66, which is a pretty impressive number in its own. Chase Young has the tied for the most sacks in a game in that same Wisconsin game with 4. That was just, he absolutely went off against Wisconsin in that game. I don't know if that was the game before his suspension for the stupid ticket thing or after, but I want to say that he took out all of his frustrations on Wisconsin in that game. So I'm sorry to, you know, the Badgers for that, but I you know, it was awesome to watch. Chase Young also holds the record for sacks in a single season with 16.5, which, you know, I think is going to be interesting to watch, because with some of the talent Ohio State's bringing in on the defensive line now between Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau, that's a record we're gonna have to watch. And I don't know if either of those guys are gonna be able to be as physically dominant as Chase Young was. He was just an absolute specimen of a human that just shouldn't be able to move as fast and as quickly as he can off the line with a guy of his size and strength. And, you know, even looking, like, 16.5 sacks in a season is absurd, because even looking back, you know, Joey Bosa's most was 13.5. Vrabel had 13. You know, Chase Young's also on the list at 8 with 10.5 in 2018. But guys like, you know, a lot of linebackers on here. Ohio State used to play a little bit different defensively. You know, A.J. Hawk's on here at 9.5. John Simon's here at 9. You know, Nick Bosa's here at 8.5 in a season. So getting into the double digits in sacks is impressive enough. But for Chase to get 16.5 in a year where he had to miss two games because of a dumb NCAA rule, like, that is crazy. He honestly could have, you know, he might have been able to get to 20 sacks, because I think the games he missed were against, like, Rutgers and some other really bad team. So there's a good chance Chase Young could have broke 20 sacks that year.
Yeah, you know, that kind of pisses me off. I'm glad you brought up the sacks and then the suspension. Chase Young was plenty capable of reaching that 20 number, and I don't know how many other players in NCAA history have reached that. I know the record is 24 by Terrell Suggs, like, almost 20 years ago, but it's sort of one of those what-if things. What if he had played those two games? Because if he had two, you'd have to say, otherworldly games, he could have finished atop the Ohio State record book for career sacks. You know, he's 5.5 behind Mike Vrabel, who finished with 36. You know, he had a 4-sack game. I'm sure there was a 3-sack game in there somewhere. So two games of 3 sacks, and he's the career owner of that record. He would have been at 36.5 with 6 more. So that's a huge what if. And like I said, I'm glad you brought it up. The sack record and records that exist at Ohio State, are you surprised that more of them have not been approached recently? You know, especially the single season one. Bosa had his 13.5. Chase Young was 16.5. Vernon Golston, with his outlier year, was 2007. He had 14. But with the guys that have come in and out of this program, are you surprised that that has not been more prevalent, the double digits like you brought up?
Yes and no, for a number of reasons. I think that first of all, that like opposing offenses are just moving quicker now, and I don't think I think quarterbacks are smarter now. They don't hold on to the ball as long, so it's tougher to get those sacks. We see a lot of, you know, QB pressures now, and just guys throwing the ball away or just throwing these quick hitters across the middle to try to avoid the sack as at all possible. So I think that plays into it. I also think the fact that Ohio State likes to kind of rotate its defensive ends a little bit more these days, so you don't get as many snaps. Like, you know, Chase Young was probably playing like 75% to 85% of snaps, but he still wasn't on the field for every down. So, you know, you're playing a little bit less now because they're keeping guys fresh. You got more talent on the roster to kind of keep these guys rotating in and out. And so I think a bunch of that plays into it, but I wouldn't be shocked to see, you know, some of the guys that are coming in now are just really, really talented guys. Like, they talk about Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau like they're, you know, they're some of the best defensive linemen that they've ever seen. So I wouldn't be surprised if either of those guys hits double-digit sacks in a season if they do pan out the way that people expect them to, and especially when they're both on the team at the same time and you can't double up one of them like they used to double and triple Chase Young. So it'll be interesting to watch. But I think, you know, it's just like all of these records and like everything, like, it just comes down to like the style of play is a little bit different and everything is a little faster and harder to get those sacks.
Yeah, that's two really good points by you. You know, the offense and the quarterback getting the ball out of their hands quicker is something that's coached across the country. You don't see a lot of 7-step drops anymore. But what gives them an opportunity, or what makes it somewhat realistic to achieve those numbers, is the fact that those two guys you mentioned and whomever else, they'll be on the field at the same time. So, again, like you brought up, less opportunity for those offenses to double and triple team and really focus on one guy. So that's an interesting point. You know, if Jack Sawyer and JTT develop at the speed that we think they're capable of and people think they're capable of, you can have a dynamic duo. And then what does the offensive line do? You know, you pick your poison sort of thing, and maybe one of those guys ends up with 5 sacks in a game and sets a new record.
Yeah, definitely. And I am so excited to see a rushman package. Like, if Zach Harrison's able to make the step people keep expecting him to, Tyreek Smith plays like we saw in flashes last year, and then you have the rushman package that also includes Sawyer and Tuimoloau, I don't know what you do as an opposing offensive line, because you can't afford to double any of them, but you also probably can't block all 4 of them one-on-one. So that's going to be a pretty crazy thing to watch, and that could definitely lead to some more sacks this year for all of those guys' numbers. But at the same time, that could, you know, lead to sacks being more dispersed, so none of them get some individual records. But we could see, I'm hoping we see a greater number of sacks this year, like per game at least, than we saw in the 2020 season, where there wasn't a ton of good pressure on the quarterback for most of the year. But And I think, you know, that
that's one of the things. Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to say, you brought up, you know, those guys being on the field at the same time. It would be crazy to think if we look back and we are able to say that JTT or Jack Sawyer or Zach Harrison was the third best defensive end on the field. You know, that's just, it's insane to think about. And we're excluding, we're forgetting guys too. You know, you brought up Tyreek Smith, but there are more than four linemen on the team. So I think it'll be really interesting, like I said, to look back after this or, you know, a couple of years down the road and be like, wow, you know, Jack Sawyer came in as a true freshman, had seven sacks his true freshman year, his freshman year, and was third on the team or something crazy like that. I think that they are that position and the receivers, it'll be spread out, but I don't think it's unrealistic that we could see a lot of records set by guys who are on the roster right now.
Yeah. And then just to kind of, you know, put a wrap on the defense and all these Fun Ohio State records, I just want to touch on the one that I wrote about in our Your Nuts this week, and that's Mike Sensabaugh's career interceptions at 22. That is a record that I think will probably stand forever because of all the things we've said, you know, guys not playing 4 years, differences in offense, you know, quarterbacks being smarter, getting the ball out faster, and all that kind of stuff. 22 picks is crazy. And like, I always think like my favorite player to watch when I was at Ohio State was Malik Hooker, because it felt like he had like three picks a game. And Malik Hooker's most in his one season, well, he had that one, his one big season was in 2016. He had seven picks. So even if he had done that, had that crazy season three times, he still wouldn't have beaten Mike Sensabaugh's record. So to have 22 picks,
and that's what Sensabaugh did. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. That's what he did. He played 3 years, you know, 68 through 70. I had to jump in, and I'm glad we're giving Malik Hooker some love because he was one of the most dynamic and exciting players I was able to watch. But yeah, I mean, I interrupted you, so go ahead.
No, you're 100% right though. Sensabaugh has the record for most interceptions in a season with 9 in 1969, and then he had 8 in 1970. So he had 17 interceptions in those first 2 years. And it's just, it's nuts to think about, because like you see some of these guys that come in now, like if you look at some of their stats, like Jeff Okuda had 3 career picks, like Denzel Ward had 2 career picks. And it's just because like you game plan for these guys, like you know who the best corner is on the field and you don't throw at them. Like people didn't throw at Denzel Ward and Jeff Okuda, so you just don't get the chance to get those picks. And like when you do throw their way, it's a lot of swatting it away, and they're trying to make a play. They're not trying to, you know, they're not trying to make a pick. They are trying to make a pick, obviously, but their biggest goal is to make a play. So if they could swat at the ball and get it out of there and break up a pass, they're going to do that every time. So it's just a difference in philosophy, a difference in style of play, both on offense and on defense. And I think that that's one of the more safer records in Ohio State's books, just because of, you know, all that stuff, the level of talent Ohio State brings in a corner. They didn't earn the moniker DBU for nothing. These guys usually wind up in the NFL before 4 years. And if you're starting as a freshman at corner, then you're definitely in the NFL 3 years if you're doing that at Ohio State. So I just think that's one of the safest records in the book to say.
Yeah, I think the best point you made was just the fact that quarterbacks are smarter. Most quarterbacks don't have a long enough leash to where in a college season they're throwing 20 interceptions or 25 interceptions like you might see in the NFL by a rookie or Jameis Winston.
Unnecessary shots at Jameis Winston, but it is funny.
But you look at some of the guys that aren't even in the top 10. You've got Antoine Winfield, Sean Springs. You brought up Okuda. Marcus Lattimore is not in the top 10. You're right. Other teams, opposing teams game plan for those guys, and they don't throw the ball that way. Most of the guys in the top 10 are from the 70s and 80s for a reason. It was just a different style. So I wouldn't say it's a good problem to have that we're not forcing those turnovers. Looking forward to 2021, we want to force more, but we don't want one guy getting picked on or one guy being thrown at all the time. We don't want seven banks getting 25 targets per game his way, or otherwise he could end up on the record or, you know, on this list. But that's not the sort of balance we want to have. We want to have a developed room and a widely talented room. So, you know, it seems like the last two records that we hit on, tell me if I'm wrong, I think we're in agreement and we wrote about them in Your Nuts for a reason. Those are two of the records that we probably see standing for years to come.
Yeah, I think a lot of the defensive records are pretty safe. I think if we're going to see any records broken here in the next few years at Ohio State, especially in 2021, it's going to be, you know, a lot of the offensive ones, you know, single season passing, or like, you know, like we talked about with Chris Olave's chances to break the career receiving record and the touchdowns. So if we're going to see some records broken this year, it'll probably be on offense. I don't foresee anybody having, you know, a 9+ interception season on Ohio State's roster. I wouldn't hate it. You know, if Seven Banks wants to go out and get 10 picks, I'm all for it. But it doesn't seem like a reasonable thing in today's college football game. Cause you know, like you said, college football quarterbacks have a lot shorter leash now. So if you're throwing 3 or 4 picks in a game, you're getting benched. This isn't the NFL. They're not going to try you back out there the next week. They're going to find the next, you know, 4 or 5 star on the roster that's younger and has, you know, they try to get that guy ready. So I think a lot of defensive records are pretty safe. And, yeah, if we're looking for records this year, it's going to be the offensive guys. It's going to be the guys you know.
Yeah, so, you know, I want to put you on the spot a little bit as we kind of wrap it up, and I apologize ahead of time for doing so, but what record, if you had to put money on it or something like that, what record, whether it's single season, game, or career, like what's the next one overall from any category that you see potentially being broken?
Well, I don't want to be boring and pick one we already did, but I really do think it's the Chris Olave touchdowns. It's just like, it's a guy who gets some of the most playing time on the team. He's the number one receiver. You're working with a new quarterback who needs a guy that he could look to as a safety blanket, and Chris Olave is certainly that guy. He needs 12 touchdowns in a 12-game season. Ohio State's going to play, you know, a couple stinkers this year where teams are just can't physically match up with them. And, you know, it's not going to probably be in the first 2 weeks. You know, Minnesota and Oregon will be two pretty good early tests for Ohio State, but then they play, you know, play a MAC school. They're going to play, you know, the lower dregs of the Big Ten. So you're going to have chances in there for potential 2-3 touchdown games in there for Chris Olave. And I think it's a very attainable goal for him to get 12 this year. If you had to pick one, where are you going?
Well, I guess I'll stay in the same vein, maybe call it boring, but it's a little different from yours. I think that Chris Olave could definitely break a record. And the one that we didn't even hit on that I think is very doable is catches in a game. David Boston has the record right now at 14. He did that in 1997 against Penn State. 14 does not seem like an insurmountable total to me. You alluded to the fact that he could be a safety blanket for whomever is in there at quarterback. So I could see a scenario where he has 15 catches in a game. You know, he's not currently on the list, but Garrett Wilson is with 11 last year. I could see Olave breaking that one. So we're sort of on the same page there.
Yeah, I think that would be an interesting one because, like, it would be very situational, obviously. Like, it would have to be a game where, like, Ohio State is in a close one and they need to go to a receiver they trust, and Chris Olave is just racking up the catches. So, like, you know, 15 receptions is no small feat, but like you said, it's definitely not undoable, especially in an era where Ohio State's throwing the ball a lot more than they used to. So that is an interesting one. We didn't really touch on the receptions, but it's another one to look at. Chris Olave might be filling up the record books this year if he does all these things we're expecting him to.
Yeah, I think it's not just him. I think Ohio State has the potential to do a lot of special things. And we've talked about it with the overall level of talent that is on this roster. You can see guys on both sides of the field, I think, whether it's in a game, a season, or a career, work their way to the tops of these.
Yeah, it should be fun. You know, we'll continue to look forward to the 2021 season as we continue to get closer to the 2021 season. But this was a little fun exercise looking back and forward a little bit, just some of the names that have come through Ohio State and put up the big numbers. That'll probably do it for us this week. We'll be back with you next week. Maybe there'll be some more news that breaks between now and then. Who knows? But we'll also have another theme here at Land Grant Holy Land coming at you, so be sure to be on the lookout for that. Be sure to follow us at Holy Land Pod on Twitter. We're trying to be a little more active on that coming up here, especially as we get closer to the season, so be sure to follow us there. You could find us both on Twitter and writing at Land Grant Holy Land. Be sure to, you know, rate, subscribe, like, review, all that great stuff that podcasts tell you to do. And for Josh Dooley, I am Gene Ross, and we will see you guys next week.